Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Prey Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 82 of Nerd Pride Radio. 82, a number, the number of games in the National Hockey League regular season? It's greater than 50. I got nothing. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's probably like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my brain anymore. Our sponsor this week, Pocket Mods! Go get your own at pocketmod.com right now. You know what? We got no time for nothing because we got to get straight into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me where I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the past week, and trust me, it ain't much. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list in my handy dandy pocket mod, and the best stuff off that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. All right, so let's check out the master list. First, what's up?
Oppenheimer!
Oh, that must mean there's a little meta talk. This is where I pull back the curtain, talk about the podcast, the website, stuff like that. Hey, I got a new microphone. I'm talking on it right now. Remember, ages ago, I talked to you about the Frankenphone, the Meikenstein, my old microphone was broken, and I had it patched up with white duct tape, and it looks like it's full of bandages. It was a mummified microphone. It was terrible. The stand wouldn't hold up. Nothing. And, I got a new one today. You know why? Because it's my birthday. Happy birthday to me. That's right. It's my birthday. In fact, it is my birthday. If you're listening to this on Monday, because I'm going to release this an hour after I'm done recording it. So I'm recording at 1:30 in the morning my time. Don't ask me why. Long weekend. Long, terrible week. Lots of stuff going on. Which none of which changes the fact that now that I'm here, I'm on the mics, I'm getting it all out. I am awesome. But as a result, due to lots of poor planning on my part, I did not get a chance to record like I thought I would yesterday or today or whatever. So now, 1:30 in the morning, since it's officially past midnight, it's officially my birthday. So if you're listening to it on Monday, March 23rd, you know it's my birthday. I'm 45 today. You happy? You thrilled for me? I am. This is cool. And one of my gifts is the microphone that I'm recording this on right now, because I needed it so badly. This is so cool. Let's see. And again, because it's 1:30 in the morning and all my family is sleeping, I'm going to be a little quieter than usual. So I'm a little worked up. I feel I'm talking a little fast. Maybe I should slow it down. I'm actually really excited to be here. This just feels great. Or maybe I'm just lying to myself to reassure myself. Maybe I'm a bundle of insecurity and mystery. All right. Should I tell you what else I got for my birthday? Do you care? Because in addition to the microphone, I also got, which, by the way, identical to my old microphone, the exact same CAD U1 USB microphone. It's gorgeous. $23 off Amazon is the last price I checked. I'm sure that's what they paid for it. But I also got a new NanoBlock set. We're doing the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and Noah is helping me with this one. And, oh, he's good with it. He loves his Legos. He loves even the nanoblocks. I was worried because they're teeny tiny little pieces. And the first couple of steps, you could see he was just shaky and he couldn't get the stuff to hold together. But yeah, give him about 15 minutes and suddenly he was a master at it. So really, my job is just pulling pieces out of the bags and lining them up. He'll build a whole tower for me. Kid's awesome. To go along with that, I got the Harrow deck and the Harrow instruction book for Pathfinder for my character, because I'm so excited about that Pathfinder role-playing game. I realized, by the way, that I don't talk about... There's lots of stuff that I just kind of take for granted, that this podcast is just an ongoing conversation with you guys, and there's a lot of things that I talk about so many times, and I just assume that you guys know as we're going along. And so I just kind of brush over. So when I say that, oh, yeah, I got the Harrow deck and the instruction book for it to go with my Pathfinder character, well, I assume you guys know. You've all been here for how long, right? Right? But some of you don't. So, you know, Pathfinder is a role-playing game, rather exactly like Dungeons & Dragons. And my character, Dothan, ran into, we had a big... a fortune-telling reading, like a tarot deck, but this is a Harrow deck, so it's completely different. And she was so fascinated that she went out and bought one in-game, and now I've bought one in real life, or I've had one given to me for my birthday in real life. Really excited about that. I got some new shirts. I'm sure I'm missing something. Microphone, nanoblocks, shirts, and the Harrow stuff. No, that's it. That was my birthday haul, and I was very excited about it. But again, I just assume you guys know me. I assume that you guys have been listening from the beginning, and I just take all that for granted. And then I ran into somebody earlier this week, one of Aiden's friends, in fact, who has always told me that you know, she means to listen to my podcast, she blah, 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 and I never thought much about it. But it turns out that she actually does listen, and... because she was asking if I could have one of the business, or if she could have one of my business cards, which I was so happy to give her. And then while we're sitting there talking, she's like, okay, so what's a pocket mod? I'm like, oh my God, I say pocket mod every week. And I forgot that I haven't explained it in ages. So I had it right there, pulled out my wallet. There's my pocket mod, showed her how it works, blah, blah. All right. Awesome. By the way, I got to stop saying blah, blah, blah. I do that way too much, and I'm going to continue doing it, but I'm just now hyper aware of it. But anyway, for those of you who are not aware, PocketMod, go to PocketMod.com. Gives you all the instructions you need. It is the simplest, handiest way to carry around notes. It's a single sheet of paper that you fold so it becomes a little mini notebook that's like, you know, 2 inches by 3 inches. You have a little mini notebook folded out of one sheet of paper. Super convenient. Fits in your wallet. Perfect. And I use it all the time. And so anyway, I'm thinking I should explain some of those things as we go along. Some of the things I think I take for granted. If I hit anything, and honestly, if you guys have questions, really? You know, if I just gloss over something that I think everyone knows, and obviously, you know, I'm kind of egocentric and self-absorbed, so I don't pay attention to those things, point it out to me. I'll explain. I love talking. Is that all the meta talk I got? Let's see, new microphone, birthday haul, recording late, talk about the pocket mods. Yeah, I think that's about it. So what's up next? Oh, it's my gaming table. I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die. That's right, role-playing games, video games, card games. If it fits on my gaming table, I am here to share it with you. And let me tell you how big my gaming table just got. This is spectacular, metaphorically speaking, of course. We were at the school today. My wife was working on lesson plans. It's Sunday. It was Sunday. Again, I'm recording early Monday morning, but it's still technically Sunday in my mind. So anyway, so we're at the school. My wife's working on lesson plans. The kids all came up because they all had homework to work on. They had reading to do for school, their band instrument to practice, all this stuff. So they do that, and then they get done, and it's like, hey, you guys want to head home? What do you want to do? And they're like, well, let's invite some friends over. So my 11-year-old, Eli, invited a couple of his friends over that live there in town, and they came over to the school, and we all ordered pizza, and we hung out, and we played Carcassonne. We actually had other games with us. We could have played Ticket to Ride. That was actually the one I was hoping to play. We could have played some Munchkin. That's the one the kids wanted most. And yet somehow, it just kind of opened up with Carcassonne. And I don't know why. And we wound up playing it so long that that's all we played today. And we had a good time. The two kids that joined us had never seen Carcassonne before. They were a little hesitant, but once they got into it, you know what? Even if you don't care about the scoring, you have no idea how it works. Carcassonne is like the coolest domino-style map-building game, and just building the map was exciting and fun for them. So we had a great time. And when we got done, after that, we then had to go get some stuff ready because we had a scout meeting afterwards for Eli, the 11-year-old. So we ditched the other kids, took his siblings home, and then it was just me and Eli getting ready for scouts. And as we're driving, he says... You know, I said, so, did you guys enjoy that today? Because it seemed to me that they enjoyed it, but, you know, I'm biased. So I wanted to make sure that he's like, yeah, that was awesome. And as we're talking about how much fun we had playing games with his friends, he says, because we're getting ready to go to a scout meeting, he says, we should do this with the scouts. I'm like, what, you mean set up a game night for him? He's like, yeah, why couldn't we do that? I'm like, okay, dude, this is on you then. Let's do it. And ultimately... because here's something I did not know about Eli until about 2 weeks ago. Is the kid, I mean, look, he's always been a little bit bossy. I get that. He's 11. He's very particular. He likes things a certain way. He's a little bit bossy. Okay, cool. But the magic is he wants to be in charge. It's not just that he wants his own way. He likes being a leader. He likes being in charge. He likes telling other people what to do. So, you know, some of this is, you know, a little concerning, but some of it is really admirable. And, we found this out at the last scout meeting. We only meet twice a month. We found this out at the last scout meeting where they were supposed to elect leaders. And so, you know, from their group of five, they were all supposed to put in a vote. And Eli won the vote. And the winning vote, the last one I pulled out of the box, was Eli's own vote, where he wrote, me, Eli, I want to rule them all. And that was his vote. And so he was really excited about it. He likes being the patrol leader. He likes, you know, helping to organize the meeting. He likes talking to people. He just, I mean, there's just no shame, no shyness, no nothing. He's just right up there. And so to get to today, I said, okay, dude, you want to organize a game night for the scouts, then you organize a game night for the scouts. You make this happen. You tell me. And I kind of guided him through the process. But I'm like, what do you need? What's the first place you need? Well, a place. Yeah, all right. Yeah, you need to know where you're going to have it. Did I say first place? Anyway, I think I just misspoke there. But essentially, I was asking, what's the first thing you need? He says, a place. Okay, great. Well, let's figure it out. And I gave him some suggestions of where we've done stuff. He's like, all right, can we do this overnight? Because I asked him, because we got to how long it's going to be. And he's like, well, we could run it till, you know, 10 o'clock. We could have some movies. He's like, could we just do it overnight? Could we stay somewhere? All right, cool. Let's figure that one out. And then, you know, you got to figure out some food and who's going to bring what games and how are we going to, you know, there was just all sorts of stuff that went into it. And he was never shy. It was never, he just jumped on it. And he's like, for part of it, because he says, okay, I want to bring Carcassonne, and I want to bring Munchkin, and we've got some other card games. And he says, can you do that one scout game? I'm like, whoa, what, you mean my scout role-playing game? Yeah, the one you wrote. The Terror at Camp Pinewood? Oh, be still my heart. Of course I can. Oh, my God. I love Terror at Camp Pinewood. I love my scout game. I only run it the one time fully through, and since then I've improved the hell out of it. The plot is better, the story works, and I've worked out rules that if it's been a while since I've talked about Terror at Camp Pinewood, it's a role-playing game of scouts at a camp where horrible things start happening, and you're basically playing out a horror movie where you've got a troop of you know, 11 to 15 year old scouts who are your heroes. That was the object of this game. And since I last played it, I've actually fleshed out the rules to the point where the rules are super simple, very straightforward and easy to use, but you essentially have, you've designed scouts so that your stats in the game, your skills, your ability scores are all based on scout attributes. That, you know, I've written up a wilderness scout code. It's not Boy Scouts, I use wilderness scouts, but I've written up a wilderness scout code, and how you rank on each portion of that code reflects your attributes. What merit badges you've earned, or achievement badges, whatever I call them, reflect your skills, that kind of stuff. I'm really in love with this game. I'm very, very proud of myself, tooting my own horn here. And so he wants to play Terra at Camp Pinewood. He wants to play all the stuff. So to me, this is just, I'm hoping this is the start of a tradition. I'm hoping this is the start of some regular thing we do where we get people together. And so he brought it up at the meeting. I mean, like, literally, he plays games with his friends. He comes up with this idea. We start talking, and within 2 hours, he's got this all fleshed out, knows exactly what he wants to do. And he's like, okay, can I bring it up at the meeting tonight? I need to make a proposal, right? Okay, can I bring this up? Okay, go for it. And so he made time. He takes the scoutmaster aside and says, yeah, I've got something else I need to talk about. Oh, Eli, do you need the floor? You bet I do. He stands up and announces to everybody, here's what he wants to do. The kids were really excited. Most of them were. Some of them were a little hesitant until he said, well, I think we can do it over at this school, and they'll let us have the gym overnight. And so if we want to play games here, then some of the kids could play basketball on the other side of the gym. And the minute he said basketball, then the few stragglers who weren't quite sure about it all went, oh, basketball, pizza, and movies? Yeah, we're in. We're good. Okay. You know what? Some kids don't want to play board games. That's fine. We'll all work it out. Everyone picks their own kind of game. We'll have a great time. I just can't. I could not have imagined before tonight that he would just take initiative like this and just jump on it. It was so cool. So, here's what I'm telling you, is that Eli's got a game night coming up. He is going to put together for the scouts. I will give you guys a report on how it works. More than likely, we won't get it to it till August. That's just, like, if we're going to do it as a scout event, and that's what he wants, then we've already got a big camp out coming up that we're planning for and doing all this plotting. And then through the summer is just tough. People go on vacation. There's graduation and vacations, and then we've got the big week-long camp in the middle of the summer, and then we've got more vacation. It's just not going to work until we get close to the school again, which is fine. Because, you know, part of me says, oh, well, then, you know, why does it have to be a scout event? Why don't we just put something together and get a bunch of kids around, and we'll, you know, figure out a way to get it all together? But I'm like, no, but if we do it this way, then he's got all this official planning to do. I want to make it very official. Do the whole organization and project planning, and I want him to really see, because, you know, if we're going to go stay in a gymnasium for a little local private school, well, then he's got to call the office for that school. He's 11. He's got to call the office and say, hey, I'm Eli. I'm a Boy Scout. Here's what we want to do. Is there any way we can get this? Is there a cost associated? He's got to go through all those questions. This will be good for him. So I'm really proud and really excited because, I mean, honestly, look, this is great for Eli, and this is good experience for him, and I really want to see him fulfill a whole project like this. But more exciting is I'm going to get a game night. You know what? I'm sure the kids will have fun too, whatever, but I'm going to get a game night. This is exciting with a whole bunch of new people, that a lot of them who have never been exposed to Munchkin or to role-playing games or to Ticket to Ride, or anything more complicated than, you know, the Game of Life and Uno, which, by the way, there will probably be the Game of Life and Uno there. But there will also be some opportunities for people to try some really new, cool stuff. And you know that excites me. You know I love this stuff. So I can't wait to see what happens. I will keep you guys posted. Hold on a second. I'm just looking because I have a box of cards here that, okay. I have a game here that I've barely touched, and the edge of the box has a design on it that made it look like the cards were shredded. But nope, that's just the design on the outside of the box. My deck of cards is fine. So anyway, that's it for my gaming table. Next up, I told you, look, I'm recording late. I'm not going to do a really long podcast here. There's lots of other stuff on my Pocket Mod, but oh, it just seems like so much work. It really does. So you know what we're going to do? We're just going to skip straight ahead to the Pod-O-Matic! I almost forgot that R2 had to jump in there. Holy blueberries, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2-D2. R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble. He rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where do those topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And when I say that you can send me some Pod-O-Matics, imagine it's more like I'm begging you, please send me some more Pod-O-Matics. I'm out. We're done, guys. This is it. This is, I just went and shuffled up the list right before I started here. And guess what? We have 98 of them. All right. Our two rolls, 1 to 100. We only have 98 to fill up this list. So, what that's going to mean for us is that if I roll a 99 or a 100, there's no Pod-O-Matic there. I am going to sit here and stare at that microphone in silence for a minute. Just a moment of silence for the question that could have been. And so if we get a 99 or 100 and you get a minute or two of dead air, just remember you brought it on yourself. Okay? So if you haven't sent me any in a while, or if you have and you're just a big fan and you want to send me some more, or if you're one of those listeners that I just found out that I have, and not just you, because you know who I'm talking to, but also you, well, you also know who I'm talking to. I've just discovered this week three or four listeners, people that I either know or kind of know through the web, in real life, people that I didn't realize were listening. And now that I know you are, come on, send me a Pod-O-Matic. You guys, you know I need them. I mean, hell, you know what? If you're a person who knows me in real life, just come up and hand them to me in person. Text them to me. Call me and tell me about them. I don't care. I will take any questions. Some of the ones that are from my kids here are simply because Eli or Noah especially will come up and just ask me, Dad, and that's how I always start them when they put them in here, Dad, have you ever thought about, okay, and then whatever they've just asked me, I give them an answer. I'm like, you mind if I put that on the Pod-O-Matic? Because that was fun. And then they always say it's okay, and I put them in. So, am I done begging? Is this enough for our NPR spring fundraising drive? Yeah. All right. Come on. Send me some stuff. We got to keep this going, and we're out. So, there you go. Now, the number I've rolled, back to the fun stuff, is 74. I'm sorry. I didn't mean I rolled. R2 rolled a 74. Sorry, R2. 74 is from Eliahad. Eliahad has a very long question because he types a lot. And it says, given the declining attendance at concert hall, I've answered this one. I know I've answered this one. Given the declining attendance at concert halls for symphony concerts and the ability to stream music for free or cheap whenever you'd like at the press of a few buttons, while being aware of the decline in arts education in schools due to an emphasis on standardized testing to acquire government funding for all school programs, has Hasbro actually screwed the pooch on D&D? Oh, yeah, you know what? That is a great question, and keeping all of those factors in mind. Yeah, in my opinion, yes. But, you know, ultimately, look, Hasbro and D&D, they've still got a good moneymaker going. They're going to keep doing this. I think 4th edition was not the most, you know, well-advised venture for them. I think 4th edition was not as successful as it could have been. It was kind of lackluster. And hopefully for them, 5th edition works better. But it's also really hard for me to say because I can't judge them fairly because I'm just not going to play them. All right? I tried 4th edition once at Gen Con 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I guess. So how long was D&D 4 out? I mean, was it out for a year before I tried it at Gen Con? Because I think it came out the Gen Con before. And so, I mean, how long did D&D 4 last before 5 came around? 4 years? 5 total? It doesn't seem long enough for Dungeons & Dragons Edition. I don't know. But here's the thing, is that I have such an investment in Pathfinder. I just got a Harrow deck for my birthday, and you expect me to try Dungeons & Dragons 5. I don't have the time to invest in that. Much less the money, but you know, even the money is secondary. I don't have the time to learn it. And when I was playing D&D 3 and D&D 3.5, and then eventually into Pathfinder, but as I was playing these versions, and I would hear stories about and from people who still play original AD&D first edition, or people who were still just totally enamored of second edition, because the transition from first to second was not a tough one. Second was really, really just a little bit of a revamp and update. It wasn't any kind of paradigm shift in Dungeons & Dragons. It kept pretty much the same structure. So you listen to people who say that, oh yeah, they stuck with second edition. They're still playing second edition, or even still playing first edition. And I thought they were crazy. I'm like, what kind of crazy old neckbeard are you that you can't, you're going to stick with that when there's all this new material out? And fortunately for me, I'm sticking with Pathfinder, which is a game that still has new material coming out for it, so therefore it's not an outmoded game. But I understand the mentality of the people who stuck with first edition or second edition, because if they stopped making Pathfinder today, I would still continue playing it exclusively for my fantasy role-playing needs, all right? There's lots of other role-playing games. I dabble in lots of different stuff. But when it comes to straight-up swords and sorcery, D&D style, well, I'm sticking with Pathfinder. That's what I'm doing. Because I have so much material. I have more material than... Even if I had a regular weekly gaming group playing live for 6-8 hours every Saturday... Even if I had that going, I've got more material available to me in adventures and modules, adventure paths, things that I've got going. I've got so much material, I could go for 3 years and not run out of the stuff I've got here. This is not even to say all the stuff I just invent on my own. I can play forever with what I own. It just seems so big to keep investing. But this is aside from your question. Your question is, did Hasbro screw up when they made D&D? With their new versions. I don't even know when you submitted this question to me, because I don't think I've gotten anything from Eliahead in ages. But I'm going to say their biggest deal is screwing up D&D 4th edition and getting rid of the Open Gaming License. That, I think, was their biggest mistake. The Open Gaming License, which I addressed in, I think, a question from Stan or Talvin last week or 2 weeks ago. The Open Gaming License for D&D 3 and 3.5, and now Pathfinder, was the single biggest shot in the arm they could have given the gaming industry, the tabletop RPG industry at that point. Spectacular. And the fact that they shut it off when they moved to a new edition, yeah, I think that was what screwed them. I think the Open Gaming License widened the gaming market while at the same time strengthening Dungeons & Dragons as the solid foundation and base of that market. I mean, it it opened up all sorts of competition and brought lots of different people in who were benefiting from Wizards of the Coast's work for free, all right, without having to pay anything back to the company that created all these rules, and yet it was all worth it because that widening of the market, that deepening of interest in the game, like I say, it just solidified Dungeons & Dragons as the rock-solid core of that world, and I think their sales were through the roof. I think they were doing better than they had in decades. So anyway, yeah, I think moving away from the OGL was their mistake. That's what I think. But you know what? I've wandered back and forth far afield on this one. Why don't we try a 70 instead? 70 would be from a Mr. Ronster. Which is good. I feel like Ron doesn't get enough representation on the Podomatic, so it is good to see his come up once in a while. Ron says, if you could add one room to your house, what sort of room would it be? Okay, well, there's two rooms that my dream house will have. And this is the dream house. Look, when I hit the Powerball and I've got $300 million at my disposal, the dream house that my wife and I build will have, there's two specific rooms it has to have, and then a feature, all right? The one room I would have to have is I gotta have a gaming room, obviously. Look, I need one of those specialized gaming tables that's all customized to fit all your dice and your drink holder and your stuff, and yet have this great tabletop that has a raised edge to keep my dice on the table, but also my maps and my all the other stuff that can go with it. All right, so I'd have to have my gaming room. And then we would also have a home theater room. Oh, that would be so nice. Just a nice, comfortable room with a huge, big screen that takes up one whole wall, so it's like your own private movie screen, but then these comfortable couches and chairs, just plenty of sitting, all facing the screen. And then at the back of that room is a little kitchenette. So it's got a counter, it's got a fridge, it's got a little microwave. So we've got a place for storing and cooking snacks, preparing food while we watch our movie. And oh yeah, it's got its own little bathroom off the back as well. So that if it's just me and my wife at home, then I can even go into the bathroom and leave the door open and still be watching whatever my movie is while I go. Oh, that's like a dream come true, isn't it? All right. Any dream house that we build with our Powerball winnings, or Mega Millions. I'm not a picky guy. I'll take either one. The dream house we built is also going to have secret passages. And I'm not going to tell you specifically what they are, because, you know what, it's not your business to know. But we're going to have secret passages, because we love secret passages. Every mansion should have secret passages, right? Okay. But that doesn't answer your question. Your question is, if I had to add a room to my house right this moment, what would I put on? I would probably take out Aiden's bedroom entirely and just expand the back of the house in that area to create a larger bedroom for him. Because his bedroom, I mean, look, it's a bedroom. It's a kid's bedroom, but he could use a little bit more room. It would be nice if he had, because there's big bedroom. Well, obviously there's our bedroom, and then there's a big bedroom that the two little boys share. And then there's Aiden's bedroom, which is kind of small. And then Jacob used to live in the basement, which isn't a real bedroom, but he was more than happy to get away from us. So I think what I would do, you could think I could just add another bedroom, so I'd have a bedroom for each kid, but yeah, Jacob's out of the house. We don't need his room anymore. So what we should do, Aiden should move downstairs. The two little boys should each get their own room, and yeah, the extra room that I build on will be expanding that bedroom back so that they each have a full-size bedroom instead of this little half a room that this one is. The half a room, I think it used to be like a sewing room or a, who knows what it was. But it's functioning as a bedroom now. So that's what I would do with it. 53 is from Kyle. Well, hello, brother Kyle. How do you like 2016? Is it working for you? It's pretty good. What is it now? It's probably late January for you. My brother is not listening to the podcast for a year because he wants to finish writing his third book. And so he's not listening to any podcasts for 1 year. And even me naming podcasts after him has not lured him into listening. So instead, I'll just say, hey, Kyle, in 2016, in, like I say, probably late January, because I'm guessing you're going to listen to most of mine first to get caught up, because you know some of them are about you, right? Okay. Kyle says, I hate when people say, what's the worst that could happen? So I'm trying to come up with an accurate answer, but I need your help. In any given situation, what is the worst that can happen? I also do the same thing when someone says, what's the worst that could happen? Well, immediately I take their situation and then I usually have something that involves, you could go to do that and then you'd be hit by a bus and dead. But I don't think that getting hit by a bus is the worst thing that could happen. So then I think, okay, well, maybe that your actions cause a rip in this time-space continuum, which unleashes a singularity, which collapses everything in existence to a single point, and we wind up all dying and winking out of existence with nothing ever to mark our presence. But I don't think that's the worst thing that could happen. I mean, really, the worst thing that could happen, wouldn't it be that instead of dying, all of us are, every single living soul on Earth is trapped in some horrible hell of eternal suffering with no control over their own situation and no possible means of escape for all of eternity? Wouldn't that be the worst thing that could happen? Yeah, that would be pretty bad. I don't know what would bring that about, but I think that would be the worst. 59. 59 is from Ronster again. Oh, good on you, man. Ron says, what is the most hollow/disappointing victory you have ever experienced in playing an RPG? All right, once again, you got to remember that I am mostly a game master, so the victories are very rarely mine. They are my players. But I will tell you that the most disappointing victory, and I put victory in quotes here, was the first Harlequin adventure for Shadowrun. That adventure was extremely railroady, and there were a couple sections of it where I wound up really just railroading, forcing my characters, my players, into situations that they clearly didn't want to be in, but I didn't know any other way to advance the plot because I wasn't as good a GM then as I am now. And I'm only marginally better now, but I've learned a few things. And so, and this was back in college. And so, and I'm just making excuses for myself. No, I sucked as a GM in some ways. There were some things I couldn't prepare for and didn't know how to deal with. And so, therefore, it came out badly. And anyway, in playing the Harlequin series, the Harlequin thing is this huge master adventure that it's one big book, but it's like six mini adventures that you have to run these different missions. And at first you don't realize that all your missions are interconnected, but eventually it all comes together and you realize you've been manipulated by these ancient immortal elves and blah, 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 which I'm not going to say anymore. And at the end of the Harlequin thing, you have Harlequin, who is one ancient immortal elf, and Aaron, E-H-R-A-N, Aaron. God, I still remember his name. And Aaron is the guy who has hired you for a lot of this stuff. And I can't remember why they're manipulating each other. I can't remember why it's all coming together. But at the very end, they've done what they're supposed to do. They have successfully completed their missions. And the reward for that is at the very end of the last mission, they essentially are bystanders for a huge wizard battle between ancient elves. That's it. Their actions had very little influence on the outcome. I mean, and it's written right in the book that that's what's supposed to happen, is these wizards, these elves, are so powerful that there's really nothing you can do to affect them. And if you try to, all you're going to do is get yourself killed or knocked out of the area, or I can't remember what the consequences were, but it made it very clear that there's nothing you can do. You're supposed, basically, as a game master, you're supposed to just describe this to the players, and the players just have to suck it up and take it. And so they get to stand witness to someone else's fight, which I think was supposed to be really unbelievable and epic, and yet it was someone else's fight, and the stakes for the two characters involved were not important to the people who were playing. They just wanted their pay and get out. And okay, yeah, that's a cool fight, but come on, seriously, this is it? Kyle, you were there. Am I remembering this correctly? Is that, I feel like that was really disappointing. It really was, it was bad, right? I'm pretty sure it was. Other people who've played Harlequin, am I on target here? Like, normally it's not like me to sit here and ask for this much approval from you, but oh, it was bad. 05. 05 from, hey, this one's from someone named Ronster. Ron says, do you do the ugly Christmas sweater thing? And what does yours look like? Every year, outside of my office, we have a whiteboard on the wall, and the whiteboard's there all year long. We put up funny sayings on it and various information. But every year, during holiday season, we run Holiday Hangman. It's become a tradition. We've done it 6 years running now. And Holiday Hangman is a spectacular game, and we have a great time. And everyone's very grateful to us for running it. It's a good morale booster. It's just really, really awesome fun. We put up a Hangman board, and people come around, and they'll gather in groups of, you know, sometimes 10 people all standing around together playing Hangman together. It's great. And we absolutely love it. And the third year we played, one of the people at work bought us a set of blue glass ornaments And she bought enough letters in these matching blue glass ornaments, enough letters to spell out. No, it wasn't blue, it was all colors. But that's not relevant to this story, is it? But enough letters to spell out Holiday Hangman. And all the ornaments were designed so that you could hang one from the other so they would hang in a chain. So we had Holiday hanging in a vertical chain on one side of the board and Hangman hanging on another side of the board. It was another side, as if there's more than two vertical sides. And that was awesome of them. All right. And we've had other people who, like, one year it seemed like everyone just wanted to bring in treats. We had a little table set up when we played Hangman, so people would bring in treats to set out by the Hangman board so that anyone who came to play, oh, grab a cookie, grab some candy. All right, we're good. I usually put out popcorn every year because we have lots of Scout popcorn. And it's just pleasant and fun. So last year, so the 2013 season, one of the guys came in with two ugly Christmas sweaters that his wife had purchased for us. Apparently he talks about Holiday Hangman at home so much that his wife had seen these sweaters and thought that this would be perfect for us. He blames it all on his wife. I believe him, I think. It's Joel's dad. And so they got us these ugly sweaters and their cardigans so that we can take them on and off easily while we're playing. But they make a big point of, hey, whoa, you can't come out here without the sweater on. All right, so we go back in and we get the ugly sweaters and we put them on. And they're not horribly ugly, although they are ugly Christmas sweaters. But they're also not really obviously, but kind of obviously. They're also women's sweaters. They button on the wrong side. And so people will make fun of us for wearing women's ugly Christmas sweaters while we're doing Holiday Hangman. And we're like, hey, you don't judge. Terry's wife bought these for us. How dare you? It's awesome. So that's my ugliest sweater. And my Yancey has the red one, and I've got the cream-colored one, and I can't even remember what's on mine. There's, like, Christmas balls and a Christmas tree, and I don't remember the whole design. But it's ugly, and it's fun. It's my Holiday Hangman sweater. Love that sweater. 64. 64 comes from... wow. One more from Ronster. Ron says, do you like the Blue Man Group? Yes and no. I have seen the Blue Man Group live, and it was spectacular. Loved it. All right, we had a great time. I was not familiar. I mean, I knew who they were, but I had not watched their stuff online. I wasn't real familiar with their act. I knew what they were about. And when we saw them live, awesome. We had a great time. It was a good show. Now, if you want to go see the Blue Man Group and you don't want me to ruin it for you, you should stop listening now. The problem I have with the Blue Man Group is that afterwards, Yancey went and saw them as well. And then also I watched several of their videos online. You can find them on YouTube. You can find lots of recordings of them. And the problem I had is there is so much faked spontaneity in their set. There's a bit where they seemingly pull someone at random from the audience and they put them through this whole rigmarole, and then anyway, there's lots of stuff that looks like it was just a random occurrence in the audience, and they're just playing off of that, and so it looks like it's improv, and it looks all spontaneous, and when you think that it's just some spontaneous original occurrence, it seems absolutely brilliant. But then you watch other videos, and you realize, oh, that exact same moment of coincidence, happenstance, happens to occur at the same time in their show every time. And they react to it exactly the same way. And you realize that, oh, yeah, it's all set up. It's that guy that we thought was just pulled from the audience. No, he's a plant. It's somebody who's there to specifically do this thing. And which doesn't change the fact that, look, it's a well-choreographed show, and they're really funny, and it's got some really good, entertaining stuff in it. But once you've seen how the magician does his trick, it's a little less impressive at that point. All right, once you've seen how the magic is made, well, it's not as thrilling. So I liked it when I had that innocent sense of wonder at it. But then after that, it was like, oh, well, okay, I've seen it once now. Yeah, it's kind of done, which is too bad. 18. And 18 comes from... ooh, Humongous. Humongous says... and this is going to be my last one. I really got to be done, guys. I know. I'm only at 45 minutes, but dudes, I got to be done. Dudes is gender neutral. Don't go getting all offended. Dudes can be anybody. Trust me on this. Because what? It's not more offensive to say dudes and dudettes. That's just gross and wrong. No, guys is gender neutral. Dudes is gender neutral. I'm cool with that. So, Humongous says, does system matter in RPGs? When I play a role-playing game, does system matter? Well, sure, it matters, but not much. A good system certainly helps, and it certainly makes things work better. And to have a system that meshes well with the style and tone that you're going for, to have rules that support specifically, like there are mechanics that just by applying these mechanics, it encourages certain types of behavior, or it forces you to look at certain things, or it makes certain aspects scarier because, oh wait, now there's these mechanics make their kind of a countdown clock unintentionally or very intentionally on this thing. It's a, you know, like when I play, I already talked about it, when I play Terror at Camp Pinewood, my Boy Scout game. Yes, the original rules I had was just plain old story system, which is a system that I also came up with, but it's just plain old generic story system. That's a very generic rules light. You have just some basic description of your characters. You roll dice, and hey, high numbers mean good things happen, and low numbers mean bad things happen, and that's it. Let's get it, go, move on. We had a great time playing the game, and I haven't play tested it, so I don't have actual proof here, but I'm suspecting that having the rules, and they're very similar rules, but they're now flavored that they match the actual scout traits, that by applying your skills, applying your stats, you have to look at your character sheet and you have to think in terms of, oh yeah, he's good at this because a scout is resourceful, because this is his resourcefulness. It's right there in the scout code. A scout is resourceful. To apply my merit badge. If we're going to be doing that, I've got my forestry merit badge. Does that give me a bonus? That kind of stuff. It encourages you to think in game terms and to think in setting terms. That not just thinking of, well, I've got skill in climbing, but rather to think, oh yeah, well, I got my mountaineering badge. It changes how you think, and it supports the tone of the setting. It supports you know what I'm saying. All right. So I think rules can matter, system can matter, because it can certainly elevate your game. Having said that, you can have a good game with any system. Honestly, you can have a good game with a crappy system. You can't have a good game with crappy people. All right? If you've got a good group that you trust, if you've got a good game master, if you've got some chemistry in the group and you've got some good creativity and some great ideas, you're going to make a good game no matter how awful that system is. And I know that because I've made really good games out of really awful systems. I still think original Shadowrun was a terrible, overly complicated system. And yet, we played Shadowrun for ages and we had so much fun doing it. Shadowrun, because that setting is so cool, the setting is just amazing. And we had a great group of guys who all, and in that case, guys was not gender neutral because we did happen to be all male, simply because we were nerds and that's not true. We all had girlfriends off and on. I shouldn't stereotype like that. What am I thinking? I don't need to perpetuate that crap. But we had a great group, and it was a great setting, and we had lots of fun, despite the fact that I think that original Shadowrun rules were terrible. So, you can make a good game out of crappy rules, but it's easier to make a good game out of good rules. And like I say, I think good rules can certainly elevate your game. So, it's worthwhile. All right, I was just about to roll again, but I can't because we have to be done. We really, really have to be done. I'm so sorry. And if we are finished, oh, I just got to bring out GLaDOS to give us a recap. Go on.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Weezer's In the Garage. All the songs I use on my podcast are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to get your very own Pocket Mod, you go to pocketmod.com. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, you recommend it to a friend, because if you enjoy it, you need to spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Don't forget to check out all the games I have for free available on my free games page. Instant Game, Hannibal, Wall Melee, Sandbox Hill, two-thirds of a dozen others, all free all the time. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com, and I promise I will actually respond to you. Or find me on Twitter, where my handle is @nerdprideradio. Even check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest with you, seriously, the very best way to talk to me, you come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. You sign up there. You send me a private message. You send me some Podomatics, maybe. Huh? Maybe. We will hang out together, be best friends in the world, and we'll have fun. Well, this is more than a little disappointing. I actually remembered to put up my, hey, I'm recording, so that I could do some listener betrayal. But unfortunately, my site's not coming up, and I don't know why. Everything else is coming up. It's just me. So I can't go see if anyone responded to give me some listener betrayal material. And I suspect it would have just been Lucy. She, for some reason, seems to have insomnia or, you know, small children to keep her awake. I don't know what's going on. But she seems to post in the middle of the night more often than other people, and I was really kind of expecting to have something clever from her that I would pop in right here. But I can't seem to get to it. You guys want me to give it one more try? All right, I'm going to go look one more time. But if not, we're just going to give up. I'm not even going to do anything clever here. I'm just going to move on. Oh, spinning wheel. Come on, spinning wheel. Give me something. Nothing. Oh, this is sad. Hey, you know what I learned today? I'm on YouTube, and YouTube does its stupid auto-continue thing that it's always doing anymore, this autoplay where I get done watching a video, and then it just keeps playing videos until I, you know, stop it or go somewhere else. And so I did a search and said, hey, how do I turn off autoplay? Because I'm looking, and there's no place for my profile or I'm logged in. And yet, there's no place for my profile, there's no settings, there's no... It's not giving me a spot to go change my preference for that. So I do a search. Hey, how do I turn off autoplay on YouTube? And it leads me to a YouTube video that shows me, hey, when you're watching the video, look to the right. Do you see that button that says autoplay? Switch it to off. Oh, God darn it. I'm an idiot. But in case you also did not notice that, go turn that switch off, because... For me, here's the killer for me. It's annoying on my computer, for one, but it's even more annoying at home because my kids will watch a YouTube video and then they'll leave. They're watching it they're watching it on the Wii U or on the Roku or whatever they're watching. Roku! And they're watching it on whatever, and then they walk away. And then once they've walked away, even if they've turned the TV off, oh, the Wii U is still playing YouTube videos and continues playing them all night long. And so then I come out at 6 in the morning and I realize, oh, geez, has that thing been playing all night? And so now I've just used up 8 hours of bandwidth for something no one's even watching. And apparently they capped my bandwidth. Damn them. So that was super handy for me. I felt so fortunate and kind of stupid to have found it. But hey, if you didn't know that there was an off switch for that, go look for it. Oh, it'll save you so much heartache. And that's all I got. Wait. One more time. Refresh. Come on. It's got to be here, right? Nope. No listener betrayal. Apparently you guys don't love me enough to betray me tonight. There we go. Say goodnight, R2.